Alright, hey guys, my name is Stuart. I'm a fifth year engineering student, and I'll be reading from Mark chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, just stick up your hand and one of our friendly welcomers will pass one up to you. All right, so we'll be reading from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 56, I think it is. Yep. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him, that even he does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, amongst his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hand on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around, teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name became well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claimed, he is a prophet like the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded and has raised from the dead? For Herod himself had given the orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I'll give you, up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once she hurried into the king with the request. I want you to give me right now, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not refuse her. So immediately he sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back the head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leave, recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wage. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150s. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of a lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining on the oars because the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind calmed down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was, and wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside. They placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed.
Have you ever seen a ghost? There are 2 times in my life when I was pretty sure I saw a ghost. The first time, it was a dark and a stormy night. The rain was pouring down and the wind was howling, and me and my friends were in a boat rowing across Lake Galilee. And as we went and we tried to make progress, the wind was howling against us. And through the rain, we saw a figure walking towards us, walking on the waves of the sea. Not walking around the lake, not walking through the water, but literally treading on the waves of the sea. We'd been following Jesus for a little while by that point, and people had been coming from all over Israel to see him and hear him. And even when we travelled to some of the Gentile areas outside Israel, people had flocked to hear Jesus. And everywhere he'd gone, he'd healed people and cast out demons. Everywhere he went, people were asking, "Who is he?" Finally, we got to go back to his hometown of Nazareth. And we were all very excited because we thought that this would be a great homecoming, that everyone would welcome him and be excited to see Jesus come back to his hometown. And it started well. He came back to the local synagogue and they invited him to speak. And as he was speaking there, people were amazed, astonished to hear him speaking with such power and authority, such wisdom. But then there's something about coming back to your hometown. You think that you'll be the hometown hero, but then everyone wants to cut you back down to size. They don't want you to get too big for your boots. And as Jesus came back to his hometown, the people there said, "Who is Jesus? Isn't he the carpenter? Isn't he Mary's son? Isn't he the brother of James and Joseph, of Simon and Judas? Aren't his sisters here with us? Who is Jesus? He's nothing special." And they despised him. Jesus was astonished. He was amazed after all the incredible speaking that he'd done, talking about the kingdom of God.
after all the healings and the casting out of the demons, for the people to treat him as though he was nothing, that was extraordinary. He was amazed at their lack of faith because he couldn't heal anyone there. Not because he lacked power, but because no one came to him. No one came and asked for healing, except a few sick people who were so desperate that they came to Jesus and pleaded with him to make them well, and he laid his hands on them and he healed them. After the disappointment of going back to Jesus' hometown, he sent us out to the villages around Galilee. He sent us out in pairs, just two by two, to go and preach the message of the kingdom of God, to tell people that God's rule had begun. And he gave us his authority to heal people and to cast out demons. And the extraordinary thing is that it worked. As we travelled around Galilee and as we preached the good news of the kingdom of God, people actually repented. They turned back to God. They said sorry for doing wrong and decided to follow God. And when people came to us for healing, we put our hands on them and they were healed. People who had demons, we told the demons to come out and they came out. It was extraordinary. And everyone knew that we were followers of Jesus. We were his disciples. So everywhere we went, people were asking, who is Jesus? Who is this man? This incredible man. Some people thought that he must be a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago. Other people remembered what God had said to the prophet Malachi, that he would send his prophet Elijah again before the day of the Lord when God himself would come. They thought maybe Jesus is Elijah. Other people thought that Jesus was John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Now, of course, that couldn't be true because we knew Jesus and John. They'd been together. But not everyone knew that. And King Herod, the ruler of that area, he in particular was afraid that Jesus might be John the Baptist come back from the dead. I think it was a guilty conscience because Herod had killed John the Baptist. See, Herod had been having an affair with his brother's wife. In fact, she had ended up divorcing Herod's brother Philip and marrying him. And John the Baptist would not let Herod get away with it. He kept telling him, this is not right. You are not allowed to marry your brother's wife. Herod thought he was a bit funny. He didn't think much of John. Thought he was an interesting philosopher to have around. But Herod's new wife, Herodias, she hated John. She'd finally made it to being a queen. And everywhere was this man, John, following them around, denouncing her for her adultery, reminding everyone that she'd committed adultery. She was enraged. So she persuaded Herod to arrest John. And then she managed to trick him into executing John. Her daughter had danced at a feast, and Herod was so pleased that he promised the girl anything she wanted. She asked her mother what she should ask for, and her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And so she did. And Herod was too ashamed, too cowardly, to back out of his promise. So he had John's head cut off and brought to his wife on a plate. What a terrible family. I would not like to be them on the day of judgment. But I'm getting sidetracked. The big question that everyone was asking, Herod included, was
Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus?
We'd just come back from our tour around the villages of Galilee, and we were telling Jesus about everything that had happened. All the people who had heard the message, those who'd been healed, the demons that had been cast out. And we were so excited, and all the time more and more people were coming. And they were saying to us, please come and heal my daughter, she's sick. Or there's a man in my village and he's possessed by a demon. No one can do anything. Could you come and help? Please, we would just like to talk to Jesus. Could we listen to him? And people kept coming and coming. We were exhausted. We'd been travelling all over Galilee and we'd had no chance to rest or even to eat. Jesus could see that we were exhausted. So he got us into a boat and all 12 of us, with Jesus as well, rowed away from the crowds. But even as we rowed out onto the lake, we could see them watching us and following us, people running from villages all over Galilee. And when we got to the place where we're going, all the people were there ahead of us. As we dragged the boat up onto the shelves of the lake, I looked up at the thousands of people gathered there and I just groaned. Oh, all these people, can't they give us a break? But Jesus looked at them and he was filled with compassion. He said, look at these people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Who will care for them? This is why I came. And he gathered them together up on a hillside and he started teaching them. And they were hanging on to every word that he spoke, just eating up his words, feeding on everything that he said. But it was starting to get late. The sun was starting to sink below the lake, the air was getting cool, and we were in the middle of nowhere. So we came to Jesus and said to him, teacher, you need to let these people go. They need to go to the villages and find something to eat. Jesus smiled and he said to us, you give them something to eat. We laughed. And eight months' wages would not have fed all the people there. How were we supposed to feed them? Jesus said, well, how much food do you have? We didn't have any. We hadn't brought any with us. Almost no one there had brought anything. We did manage to find one person who'd brought 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. That was enough for him to eat. Maybe enough for his family to have a snack. But 5 loaves and 2 fish amongst thousands of people, that was never going to feed them. But Jesus took the loaves and the fish and he told us to go and get the people to lie down in the green pasture. So we went out and we gathered them into groups, 50s, 100s, and told them to lie down in the grass. Once we'd done that, Jesus took these 5 loaves and these 2 little fish and he looked up to heaven and he thanked God for blessing us so abundantly. With 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Then he broke the bread and the fish and he gave it to us and told us to hand it out to the crowds. So we did. And as we handed out the bread and the fish, something strange happened. No matter how much we gave out, there was always more left. We gave out the bread and the fish to thousands of people. We counted them as we went, and there were over 5,000 men, plus women and children. And then we gathered up the leftovers, and from 5 loaves and 2 fish, we gathered 12 basketfuls of leftovers. We didn't know what to think. But Jesus got us together and he got us back into the boat. And as we pushed off from the shore, and as the crowds headed back to their homes and their villages, we saw Jesus walking up the hillside to pray. It was later that night that we saw the ghost. Like I said, the rain was coming down, the wind was howling. We were trying to row across the lake, but we were making no progress. And then we saw the figure coming towards us, treading on the waves of the sea. We cried out with fear. It looked like he was going to pass us by, but then it stopped, turned to us, and said, "Take courage, I am, don't be afraid." And Jesus stepped into the boat. We didn't know what to say. But we all knew what each other were thinking. Who is this man? Who is he who teaches with such power and authority? Who heals people with just a touch and casts out demons with a word? Who can feed 5,000 people with 5 little loaves and 2 fish and leave 12 basketfuls left over? Who is this man who walks on the waves of the sea like a farmer strolling through his paddock? Who is he? So let me tell you about the second time that I thought I saw a ghost. It was shortly after the worst time of my life. See, the soldiers had come to arrest Jesus and they'd taken him away to the high priest's house and they'd put him on trial. All of us had fled. We'd run away, abandoned him. But I snuck back. I went into the high priest's house and I sat in the courtyard around a fire with strangers everywhere, watching Jesus being put on trial. I was terrified. I was afraid that people might arrest me, that I might be put to death. And people kept saying to me, "You're one of his friends, aren't you? You're one of his followers." I said, "No, I've never known him." They said, "Of course you have. You're a Galilean. We can tell from your accent. You're one of his." But I denied it. And just then the rooster crowed, just like Jesus had said it would when I betrayed him. I ran home and I threw myself on the floor of my room and I wept and I wept. A sad, broken man, as my best friend, the one I was sure was the Messiah, God's King, was beaten and flogged and nailed to a cross. The next day just passed in a haze. But the morning after, one of my friends, Mary, came running to my house and she said, "They've taken his body." I grabbed my friend John and we ran to the tomb. And when I ran in, I saw that she was right. Jesus' body was gone. Didn't know what to do. We wandered home again. But later that day, we were gathered together in a room. We were terrified that the soldiers would come and arrest us too. We were wondering what had happened to Jesus' body when suddenly he appeared in front of us. We cried out in terror. We thought it was his ghost come back to haunt us for abandoning him. But he said, "Why are you afraid and why do doubts rise in your mind? So look at my hands and my feet. See, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." We didn't believe it. So he asked us for some fish. We gave him some fish, and he took it and ate it. We were waiting for the fish to drop through him like a ghost. But it didn't. And we leapt up and we ran to him and we embraced him and kissed him, and he was no ghost. He was as real as you and I. And then he opened our minds so that we could understand everything that was written about him in the scriptures. He said to us, "Do you remember that day by Lake Galilee when I fed those 5,000 with just a few loaves and fish? Did that remind you of anything? Didn't that remind you of when God fed Israel in the wilderness with manna and quail after they'd fled Egypt? Don't you see who I am? And when I made them lie down in green pastures, did that not remind you of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Don't you see who I am?" And when I fed the people on the mountains of Israel, didn't that remind you of what God had said through the prophet Ezekiel? That one day God himself would come and feed his sheep, his people, on the mountains of Israel? Don't you see who I am? See, your hearts were hard. You didn't understand about the loaves. If you'd understood what I was saying, if you'd understood who I was, you wouldn't have been so amazed when you saw me walking on the water. So you would have remembered what it says in the book of Job. God alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Don't you see who I am? And when I went to pass you by, you would have remembered what God had done to Moses and to Elijah when he hid them in the cleft of the rock and passed them by, showing his glory. I thought you might have seen my glory. And when you cried out with terror, and I stopped and I said, "Take courage, I am." Don't you remember what I said to Moses at the burning bush when he asked who it was who was speaking to him? And I said to him, "I am who I am." Don't you see who I am? And then he disappeared. We sat there in shock. And then John looked up at me and he said, "Peter, don't you see who he is? He's not a ghost. He's God." And suddenly everything became clear. Everything Jesus had done on that amazing day was showing us that he is God. Everything that he'd done, the feeding us, the walking on the water, it was all showing us that he was God. And that has made all the difference to my life. See, that day we were tired, we were hungry, we were afraid. And there have been times like that since. Friends, what are you tired of? What are you hungry for? What are you afraid of? Are you tired of having to meet other people's expectations? Are you tired of having to prove yourself to your parents? Are you tired of having to live up to your friends' expectations? Are you tired of trying to impress God? then come to Jesus. Because he is the shepherd who is God. He is the one who gives us rest. He is the one who makes us lie down in green pastures. Because he has done all the work for us. By his death on the cross, he has paid for our sin. We don't need to impress God. We don't need to prove ourselves to him. We can relax and know that Jesus has done it all. We know that God approves of us. And if God approves, then who cares what other people think? They're not God. Jesus is. What are you hungry for? There are all sorts of things that you might hunger for, all sorts of ways you might try to satisfy yourself. But friends, they won't work. Everything you devour, everything you wolf down in an attempt to find satisfaction will only leave you feeling empty. They never really satisfy. And as you chase after them, as you pursue them, you only leave behind a trail of wreckage, the bodies of those you have used and abused in your attempt to find satisfaction. But friends, Jesus gave us his body that we might be satisfied. He gave us his body that we might have real relationship with God, deep, lasting, eternal relationship. He gave us his body that we might have eternal significance. See, by his death on the cross, he paid for our sin. He got rid of everything that separates us from God. There is no barrier between us and God anymore. We can have that relationship. We can rejoice in it. We can delight in it. It gives us everything that satisfies because it gives us Jesus. And Jesus is God. By his death on the cross, we have become the children of God. And you cannot be more significant than that. It does not matter what you achieve in this life. It does not matter what you do in this life. You cannot be more significant than what you already are if you are a child of God, if you have put your faith in Jesus. What you do now as you follow him and as you tell others about him, it will have eternal significance. Others might build buildings that last for 50, 100, even thousands of years. But what you do will last for eternity. Because Jesus is God. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that others will make fun of you? That they will mock you and despise you for following Jesus? A ghost, a phantom, a nothing? Well, they despised me. They even killed me. But we don't need to be afraid. Because those people are not God. Jesus is. What they think about us, in the end, does not matter. What Jesus thinks about us matters forever. And he loves us. He is God. He is our shepherd. Friends, there are lots of things that you could chase after in this life, lots of things that you could try and make your life about, lots of gods that you could worship. But in the end, when you try and grab hold of them, you discover that they're ghosts. They just slip through your fingers. They disappear, evaporate. They're nothing. But Jesus is no ghost. Jesus is God. So grab hold of him.